Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm filling in for Mo H. today. And I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Monday, June 22nd. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're studying page 46, the second paragraph, which begins, "Much to our relief," and through one paragraph ending with, "It is open, we believe, to all men," and I'm going to add women, too, thank God. Today's readers are Letty G. for the 12 Steps, Mary P. for the 12 Traditions, Alex K. will read and comment on our text, Penny L. C. will read page 164 for us, and Ann S. C. H. is available here for backup. Then we'll have Hillary B. greet our newcomers, and Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements. Thank you all for your beautiful service. DOA preamble. Oops, let me give you the reference number for yesterday's special edition, which is 23569. That's 23569. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 23570. That's 23570. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Letty G. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, Letty G., and I'm currently in Nevada. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, and I am a compulsive overeater. 1, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. And I
thank you for your service. I appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 46, the second paragraph, and I will now ask Alex K. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you, Elaine. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Alex K., compulsive eater in California, giving a reprieve for today, much to our relief. We discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. Well, it was a relief when I first came. No one was telling me I had to believe or had to believe in a certain higher power in a certain way, to believe in someone else's concept. If that had happened, I probably would have left and never returned. As it was, I was very uncomfortable hearing people talk about God. My mind was completely closed to anything to do with religion or spirituality. I thought my way of thinking was the right way, and I wasn't receptive to anything else. I was relying on my will and my thinking, hanging on to old ideas that weren't working. Even though I didn't like hearing about God and I wondered if I could do the program because I was an atheist, something kept me coming back. Must have been my higher power. I heard people share about different concepts of higher power. I saw that that it was our choice. Nothing was being forced on me, and that allowed me to relax and learn, and my mind started to open a tiny bit, and that's all it takes to make a beginning. I started to really listen and be curious. I really appreciate the gentle inclusiveness of the program. We each find our higher power that works best for us. Mine might be different from yours, and that's okay as long as it works for me. Just as with our food plan, it's not a one-size-fits-all. We're individuals with different needs, and we're all welcome. It's a big umbrella. As my mind slowly opened more and more, I became willing to believe that maybe there was a higher power, but it seemed like something vague and far away, something I had to make a big effort to get to. But over time, that distance between me and my higher power has lessened. Actually, I think my higher power that I call HP has always been here, but I put up barriers to our connection, so it felt far away. With the help of the steps and the tools and regular quiet time, daily time with my higher power to develop and nurture that relationship, something amazing happened. As time passed, the space between me and my higher power shrunk, and the barriers had been removed, and I felt closer and closer to my higher power. And today I know my higher power is always right here with me, closer than my breath. I don't have to do anything to get to my higher power because HP is always here now in this moment with me wherever I go, whatever I do, my constant, compassionate companion. I've heard it said, I came to believe, I came to know. It's been a long journey for me to get to know, but I do now. I have an unshakable faith that my higher power is always with me, loves me unconditionally, helps me with everything, and takes good care of me. It's a constant in my life, and Nothing can change that. And it brings
me reminder.
Balance and stability. I'm always safe and protected. Okay, no matter what. What a miraculous gift. It's the last thing I expected and the best thing I've received in recovery. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Alex K. So appreciate your share. Although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared recently and you would like to comment on page 46, paragraph 2, which begins with much to our relief and ends with, it is open, we believe, to all men and women too. So if you'd like to comment, please give me your name and where you're calling from.
Deborah G., Arizona.
Deborah G.
Ian F., Kentucky.
Ian F.,
Denver.
I didn't get that last one.
Lisa in Colorado.
Denver. Okay, Lisa in Colorado. And what's the first initial of your last name, Lisa?
W, like water.
Oh, great. Thank you. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Michelle A.
M., California.
I heard Michelle, was it MC?
AC in Colorado.
Colorado, okay, another Colorado. And who else came in with Michelle?
Harry N., California.
Harry N., okay. All right, that's a great lineup. So we've got Deborah G., Ian F., Lisa W., Michelle AC, I believe, and Carrion and Carrie N, not Carrion. All right. Please share with us, Deborah. You'll be followed by Ian F.
Oh, hi, good morning, and thank you so much, Elaine, for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And wow, welcome to the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. You don't have to live like you've been living. This is a wonderful, beautiful experience to have. And I never realized how much it could be like this when I was disconnected from God. And that's what I was for so many years, because I was told what God was to me. And I had to believe what that God was to me. And I was so disconnected from doing that, and it just didn't feel good at all. And it wasn't until I came to program did I get permission. I got permission to have a higher power, that power that they're talking about, that I have no power, could be whatever I wanted it to be. Because I believe today, from my experience going through the steps repetitively, it has changed. It's even different right now. I recently went through the steps in another program, and it's changed again. And it's more, it only becomes more deeper, more connected, and more where I can surrender to it because of my conception of it. And I'm so glad because of this program that I got this experience to do this, to live my life like this, and to be free of how I was living in the food. You know, I was suffering in the food. My mind was hijacked with the compulsion, with the mental obsession, and I kept putting it in my body over and over and over. And having, you know, this unmanageability it was creating, and not knowing how to stop, and not knowing I had no power, and not knowing that there was a power that could help me with this. And I'm so grateful for that experience. And I'm so grateful that I don't have to do it alone. I can do it with all of you, and you all have higher powers. What a beautiful experience right now. All of us have their higher powers with us on this call right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. Up next, we have Ian F. Please share with us.
Hi, my name is Ian F. I'm a compulsive overeater in Louisville, Kentucky. Really great to hear all you guys today. The importance of God being, you know, the broad, roomy, all-inclusive, the conception of God being open for us is that God is the thing or person or entity, whatever you want to call it, that is saving us from compulsive overeating. That's how I've always understood it. Whatever that conception is, my relationship to my higher power has to be solid. And for my relationship with my higher power to be solid, I have to be willing to reach out to that higher power on a daily, if not hourly or minutely basis. And I say that right now because, just to be current about where I'm at, there's this girl I started dating, I guess. And it's just like the food, not in a bad way. I mean, it's normal. I'm 23, but like, I'm thinking about her all the time. And I have to keep going to my God and saying, hey, I'm thinking about her again. I can't be doing that. I have work to do. You know, your God, not her, right? Like, I need a God that I can talk to like that, you know? And the way that I talk to my God is probably different than the way that most, you know, other people talk to God, not because I'm special, but because everyone's a different human being. And without that individual conception, I don't trust God enough to rely on. If I don't trust God enough to rely on, I am screwed because I don't trust the thing that's going to save me and I won't go to it. So developing that relationship that is personal and deeply felt and something that you're actually willing to contribute to every day, it's not just nice, it's vital. It's vital to my recovery. So that's what I got. I love you guys. All the best.
Thank you so much, Ian F. So appreciate your share. Okay, Lisa W. is up next, and she'll be followed by Michelle A.C. Please share with us, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone who's making this meeting possible. Lisa W. from Colorado, compulsive overeater in recovery. And I'm reminded today of the searching that I've done. My searching for God started in high school. I think it's because I had a friend that was Pentecostal, and I thought, oh, maybe there's help for me. And I was searching because I wanted help. I wasn't really thinking about food at the time, but for my life. And I've searched, I did EST. I've been in all different churches and religions. And it wasn't until I got to recovery. So what those gave me was there was a belief. There is something out there that if I pray to it, things will get better. But, you know, that wasn't really enough. And it failed me when push came to shove, and it didn't show up for me. It didn't give me the rescue from my situations. And then I just gave up and thought, well, screw it. And it was coming into OA where I was like, dang, I got to think about God again. But this time I had been looking through all these other religions to teach me about God. And I learned some things that are really good, but it wasn't even prayer, I don't think. Today, it's, you know, what I've heard said, I realize I have to connect. If I want any freedom from my mental obsession, I have to connect throughout the day. I read On Awakening, and over it says, we pause when agitated. We ask God for the direct, you know, thought or action. Throughout the day, we say, thy will be done. That was not something I ever, you mean talk to God daily and expect to hear something, expect to feel something, expect to have guidance? It's a really new experience. And to meditate and be open to a sense or feeling of a higher power, it's completely different than religiosity, praying to a God, save me, save me. And I'm sure my higher power showed up. But Yeah, nowhere did I learn. Let's have an experience. I'm sure it's out there. Have a personal relationship. I don't have to follow what a religion says. Sorry. But I do have a practice that I've learned from. Thank you. And so I feel so much richer learning, coming to believe that I have something with me all the time. I'm still learning that. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
So true. Thank you so much, Lisa W. Okay, Michelle, I think it's AC, and you'll be followed by Carney W. Please share with us, Michelle.
Thank you. And yes, it is Michelle AC, gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And I picked this passage. I was at a meeting over the weekend, and I picked this passage when somebody asked us to pick the passage that had our favorite promises in it, because the promises that are in here speak to me so much of the ease with which this is possible. You know, that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. So when I'm making hard terms, it's me. When I'm fighting reality, it's me. When I'm struggling, it's me. And surrender is the solution to all those things. And it says very clearly, God does not make that hard for me. That surrender is easy. Fighting's really hard, and I'm a little tired. I've been fighting reality a lot for the last couple weeks, and ignoring the great reality deep within, right? This perfect reality that is my higher power, and also the grace I've been given of abstinence, of working the program, of just the miracles that happen in my everyday life. And just turning my view and being able to see those things is so simple and such a small thing. And the other promise that really stood out to me is he doesn't make, you know, that it's broad, roomy, and all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding. There's nothing about me or anyone else that divine love is going to say, not you, Michelle, just not you. Everybody else gets this, not you. But that's the voice of the disease for me, is that you know, love is all-powerful, and yet I believe that there's something about me that's going to make it not happen. And this promise says it's open to everyone. It's open to me. It's open to the people I don't like. It's open to the people I have to write resentment inventory about. And if God, you know, if divine love can filter through to people I have to write resentment inventory about, then I'm pretty sure it applies to me too. But I've been seeking a lot in the last couple of days. Like, you know, if you're not going to make it easy, if you're not going to make it hard, you know, God, can you please help me do this, because I don't even have the power to surrender without God's help, I've realized. And that's actually a beautiful thing and a very comforting realization. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Michelle AC. Carrie W., you are up next, and we'll take another lineup after Carrie. Please share with us.
Hi, it's Carrie N. from California. And as I read this passage, I looked at that very first sentence, and it says, what it says to me is, it's an inclusive process, and it welcomes my thoughts and my experiences as they are, as I come into this process. And that's what I bring in. I bring my experiences and my thoughts. And then I'm so relieved that it's a reassuring process. It's reassuring me that those are welcome here. And then it actually asks me, I see this as an instruction paragraph, it asks me to look at prejudice. And so I looked up prejudice. And it says, prejudice is an unfair, unreasonable, or preconceived opinion or feeling formed about someone based solely on their group membership, such as race, religion, gender, or age, rather than actual experience or facts. It often involves irrational hostility, stereotyping, and a refusal to consider contradictory experience. And I appreciate considering, you know, what prejudice. Let's see. It says I'm asked to lay aside that prejudice. So, and that prejudice has to do with my conception of a power greater than myself. And yeah, there's a lot there, a lot that I brought. But because the next part asks me to express even a willingness to believe in that power, I took that on, you know, when I was asked to read the big book the very first time and I ran across the power greater than me, you know, that's the foundation of what this big book is all about, is creating a relationship with that. And I just set aside my prejudices about my abilities, actually, my prejudices about myself. And I just started using the word to begin with and telling other people that I have a power greater than myself. And so that's what my journey has been. I'm just going to read through the rest. And I did commence to get results. And I really appreciate, or I'm being reassured actually, that I don't need to fully define or comprehend that power. And when people talk about God, or when I see that capital G-O-D throughout this book, and I hear it in people's voices, that that is all I need to do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Carrie Ann. Appreciate your share. Okay, so we're on page 46, paragraph 2, commenting on, much to our relief, through one paragraph ending with, it is open, we believe, to all men and women too. That's not in there, but we're adding it. So if you would like to comment on this, please give me your name and where you're calling from.
Marcel M.
Uh-oh. I heard Manitoba.
Marcel M. in Manitoba.
I heard Marcel M. in Manitoba. And
Suzanne
Canada.
D.
Suzanne
from Pennsylvania.
D. Pennsylvania.
Don
B. Ainsley in Michigan.
Don B. I believe you're in California. And who was that in Michigan?
Ainsley in Michigan.
Ainsley, and what's the first initial of your last name?
F as in February.
Okie dokie. Time for two more.
Sarah N. in California.
Sarah N. California. And last call.
Maria, Indiana.
Maria, and what's your first initial of your last name, Maria?
D. D as in dog.
Great. Excellent. Thank you so much. So, Marcella M., would you please share with us?
Thank you, Elaine. This is Marcella F. from Manitoba, Canada, and I'm so grateful to be here today. Thank you for your service. I am a compulsive overeater. I am living in recovery today by God's grace, love, and mercy. And I just love the inclusiveness of this paragraph. I find when I listen to people's shares, I mean, there's probably more than two categories, but I hear people who came in either agnostic or atheist and came to believe, another group of people who always had a God but were yearning or searching or seeking for a personal relationship. And I spent many years making God really small, limiting him or making him disinterested in my little you know, problems with food, little did I know, and all my problems with life. And today I have that relationship with a personal God who cares about me, who, you know, who I can trust. I don't do it perfectly. I have my agnostic moments where I still think that, you know, oh, well, you know, why would I bring this to God? But my God has a real sense of humor and goes, yeah, kiddo, I can do this. I can do this for you. And just you know, take your hands off the steering wheel and let me do it. And, you know, I love that it says that it's not difficult. We just have to do it. And it's just like a cloudy day. You know, God is always there. And the clouds are the things, the barriers that I put to block out the spirit of the sunshine, of the sunlight of the spirit, sorry. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for all the shares today. You have blessed my day. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Marcel S. You've blessed ours too. Okay, Susan D. in Pennsylvania, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Dawn B. Please share with us, Susan. Star one to unmute. Susan D. in Pennsylvania?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, there we are.
Yes. Hey. Okay. Sorry about that. This is Suzanne D. From Pennsylvania, and grateful to be here in this meeting, grateful to hear people talk about higher power. That always seems to make me feel more connected to higher power. And what I was thinking about as people were sharing is the kind of the process of over the last 23 years being in recovery and how the concept of God has changed for me. And I started out coming from a family where, you know, my father was God. He wasn't really, but my mom kind of made him God, and so did we. And so then that started this pattern of making people my God. And so it took a while because I didn't grow up being able to trust my parents. So like I learned that projecting, you know, that humanness onto God was not good for me. And so I needed a God that I could trust. And I've built the trust over the years, and I'm still building the trust. And what I find is that my character defects of wanting control and self-reliance really, really block my connection to God. And you know, the program tells me I am powerless over those character defects. And I liked what someone shared about, like, sometimes I'm not capable on my own of surrendering. Like, I need God's help to surrender. And I just want to say that trying more and more to remember throughout the day to pause and connect with my higher power, because that's what gives me peace. It's really, honestly, the only thing that gives me peace. So thanks for letting me share, and thanks for your service.
Oh, thank you so much, Suzanne. I really appreciate it. Dawn B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Ansley F.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. So great to be here today. This is such a lovely paragraph. So what it tells me is that our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. So what this tells me is that my higher power wants to be contacted, wants connection, wants a relationship. For me, the image of like a kid jumping up and down, just can't wait to give this gift that they have, and they just can't wait to give it. They're just like, they're just so excited to give this gift. You know, it says in the big book that he stood in the presence of infinite power and love. So my higher power is infinite love, infinite power, you know, immeasurable joy, immeasurable peace, and wants a relationship with me. You know, we we had this dog. Her name was Lily. And she, I don't think it's any mistake that dog, you know, spelled backwards or spelled the other way is God, G-O-D-D-O-G. Anyway, she was just an incredible messenger. Love to our family. She would, every time you came in the door, it was like she had never seen you in months. She would just like lose it, just so happy, bouncing around, twirling around, jumping up and down, laying on her back, just wanting a belly rub. Just like she would just come unglued every time she saw us. And if to me, it was just like she was such a messenger of God's infinite love. All inclusive, wide and roomy, you know, not making too hard of terms for anyone. Just, oh my goodness, she just thought we were the best thing. And that for me is just such a message of God's infinite love. God is just bursting into tears, just thinks we are the best thing, you know, since just, we're just so infinitely loved, infinitely delighted in. Absolutely, just we are the apple of God's eye, and God wants us more than anything to know that we are so loved, so precious, and just absolutely delighted in exactly as we are. And however we come to God, God is just so happy to receive us and just treats us like, you know, we're just like this little dog, you know, would treat us. And she would follow us around during the day and just want to be in eyesight, just want to be near us. And I truly believe, for me anyway, that's the higher power of my understanding. Wants nothing
Thank
more
you,
than to let me know that I'm infinitely loved, treasured, and delighted in exactly as I am. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Dawn D. Appreciate your share. Ansley F. in Michigan, would you please share with us? And you'll be followed by Sarah M.
Thanks. This is Ansley in Michigan. Can I be heard?
You sound great, Ansley.
Great. I haven't been here in a long time, and I haven't shared in a really long time. This is a really good paragraph, and I really appreciate all of your shares. I feel like I've gotten even more out of the shares today. I wish I had like jotted down a couple things, but I don't know, something about like God being like my higher power being the thing or the entity that can save me from my compulsive overeating, that I hadn't really thought about it like that before. But just, I guess, you know, I've been in recovery. I've been in 12 step in some way, shape or form for like 20 years. And, I get so frustrated with myself, just having so much trouble applying it to my daily eating. And I've gone to OA meetings for years, and I think worked through step six twice in OA, no, probably three times in OA. And I had a period of abstinence a long, long, long time ago for about 3 years. And then 2 years ago, I had a 9-month period of abstinence. And that's the longest I'd had in like 15 years. And, but I'm not there now. And I just want to kind of meditate on this paragraph and just remember that it's more simple than I want to make it. And the sentence that we found, that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. And, you know, just, I think I just need my higher power to be, it's always been very big and all encompassing, and that's great. And it's part of my faith and in my life and my worldview. And it's even been a personal relationship for me, but I find myself thinking in my head about what I want to say to God, but not actually sitting down and like saying it directly to my higher power. And really that's a mental thing, because I know my higher power obviously knows what I'm thinking, but somehow there's something different. It's very similar to me thinking about what I would want to say to my sponsor, but not actually calling her. And so I'm going to try to remedy that today as well. So really glad to be here. Really appreciate your shares. And I'm going to probably leave my phone number with the moderator. And I just wanted to see if I might be able to connect with one of the people that shared. I don't know if that's possible. But anyway, thanks for letting me share. I'm really glad to be here.
Oh, thank you so much, Ansley. Really appreciate your share. Sarah N. is up next, and you'll be followed by Maria D. Please share with us, Sarah.
Hi, this is Sarah N. from Sacramento, California, compulsive eater, and really glad to be here. And about 6 or 7 months ago, after many years of being in Overeaters Anonymous and maintaining a 50 to 80 pound weight loss, in a strong local fellowship, I would have told you that I did not need this entire chapter, We Agnostics, and I definitely did not need this paragraph. Spirituality was not my problem, and people came to me to know about spirituality, and that was not an issue. And then I would have told you that, and I would have gone through my day weighing and measuring my food on my food plan, as I did every day. And then maybe that day would be one of the days where after I went to sleep and went to bed and did all my spiritual practice, I could not prevent myself from going back down to the kitchen and eating food that was on my plan of eating, but not what I said I would eat that day, and not, and more than what I needed. And I might do that again a week later, I might do it again another week later, I might do it the next day, but probably not, because that to me was crossing a line and the others weren't. And then I started hanging out, coming to the visions meetings, because my spirit, which is what I call God, my spirit started telling me I needed something else. And I heard it from people who in the local fellowship who were attending visions meetings, and I heard something else. And I started hanging out, and it started coming. And 90 days ago yesterday, I got a visions sponsor and began doing 90 and 90, and had a different level of spiritual awakening than I've ever had before, and had the compulsion to eat anything that I didn't need to eat lifted from me these past 90 days. And I did not do the numbers, and I did not count it, and I didn't do it because my God did this. But yesterday, the 90th day, and I'm basically through my steps, we're just wrapping that up this week, was 20 years in one day at a time, abstinent from many forms of compulsive overeating in this program, which is amazing. And I'm so grateful to have gotten to that 20-year mark and have another level of freedom and a God to turn out that I have a God that's even more powerful than I thought. So I'll keep coming back.
Yay. Thanks so much, Sarah N. Okay, Maria D., you'll be our final share for today.
Hey, Maria D. from Indiana. The first sentence, much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another conceptions of God. When I first heard that, that totally just blew my ever-loving mind. I was coming from an organized religion, and I had everybody else's idea of what God was. And when I came into recovery And I heard that, and then I saw it in like the third step. I was like, wow. And I didn't even know what that really meant. I honestly didn't. And through the years of being in recovery in another program, I was blessed with that spiritual awakening. And it has never left me from that time. But what I found was that I was seeking him and still eating. And when I decided, or I didn't decide, God led me to this meeting several years ago. It's my first time ever really sharing. And finding a sponsor and really doing this thing.
I'm going to walk you. I know you need one.
Somebody's talking about walking or something like that. You're mute. You're not muted. Okay. I think it's quiet now. Please go ahead, Maria.
That's okay. Anyway, I just realized that what I've been seeking through eating was, you know, a deeper connection with my higher power. And I often said that I thought that maybe there was another piece of the puzzle missing, and it could just be this. And so, anyway, thanks for letting me share. That's all.
Oh, thank you so much, Maria D. So appreciate your share. Okay. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Thank you.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until